Sundays and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Israeli warplanes pounded a facility in Tehran overnight used to make uranium centrifuges. Iran's retaliatory barrages have tapered off, but it's warning any U.S. intervention would risk an all-out war in the region. Correspondent Jared Hill reports.
Day six of the Israel-Iran conflict, and sources tell CBS News President Donald Trump is weighing whether the U.S. should join Israel's strikes on Iranian nuclear sites. A major focus, the deeply buried Fordow facility.
Iran cannot have any nuclear weapons. Very simple.
Yesterday, the president met with his national security team in the Situation Room.
He's demanding Iran's unconditional surrender. A day after the president cut out of the meeting to focus on the Middle East, the G7 summit wrapped up in Canada without a major agreement on the Russia-Ukraine war. The BBC's James Nalandale from Alberta.
The U.S. resisted any joint declaration criticizing Russia. Instead, Canada's Prime Minister Mark Carney issued his own statement, claiming G7 leaders were resolute in exploring all options to maximize pressure on Russia.
President Trump expected to sign an executive order this week to extend the deadline for another 3 months for TikTok's owner to sell to a non-Chinese company. Tech contributor Ian Schur.
This all started half a decade ago when President Trump accused TikTok of being a national security threat and said that he would try to ban it. Ever since then, a number of lawmakers in the United States and around the world have actually instituted such bans.
The president's been pushing for a full percentage point cut, but the Fed's expected to leave interest rates right where they are after today's meeting. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
They're dealing with a lot of conflicting economic data. They're trying to see the future. They're dealing with pressure. Economists saying, well, we don't want to lower interest rates and then have to turn around and increase interest rates in a couple of months.
One of New York City's Democratic mayoral candidates, Brad Lander, speaking out after a chaotic arrest by ICE agents outside a federal immigration courthouse.
We are not going to give Donald Trump and his goons any excuse for ratcheting up conflict or violence. It is possible to show up and protect New Yorkers and protect people who have the right to seek asylum and insist on due process.
It's back-to-back Stanley Cups for the Panthers.
It's a hat trick! Sam Reinhart!
Reinhart scoring four goals in Florida's 5-1 victory over Edmonton in Game 6. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A win for OKC. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Basketball, the Thunder beat the Pacers 120-109 to take a 3-2 lead in the NBA Finals. Indiana's Tyrese Halliburton re-injuring that right ankle and calf muscle in the first quarter ended up with only 4 points in 34 minutes of play. The Thunder's Jalen Williams with a career-high 40 points in the postseason asked, was that the game plan or are shots just dropping in for him?
Probably a little bit of both. I won't give too much into the game plan, but a lot of it is just me being aggressive, seeing what's open and taking those shots.
Game 6 is Thursday night in Indy. Baseball, the Brewers face the first-place Cubs tonight at Wrigley Field. Chicago with a 5.5-game lead in the NL Central. Ahead of the crew, pitcher Colin Ray on the kind of standard manager Craig Counsell has set in the Cubs clubhouse this year.
Yeah, I think he just has the expectations of us doing the little things right, coming in every single day, giving your best effort, holding each other accountable for those things when you step through those doors every single day.
That's Cubs pitcher Colin Ray with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies to stay with us in the overnight with showers. Even a couple of rumbles of thunder can't be ruled out. Light winds, morning lows of the lower 60s. On your Wednesday, showers and storms around, some locally heavy rainfall with highs in the upper 70s. It's 66 at our studios.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley will join us. More stories coming out after the fall of Roe versus Wade. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night. It's a great night to sit inside and listen to the radio. It's hot outside. It's muggy. If you missed the first hour, we're talking about vegetables tonight. It is National Vegetable Day. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite vegetable and or least favorite vegetable? Share those. We'll catch up on some texts in just a few minutes here. Piet Levy will be here at 7:20 from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're going to have a final recap here on what's coming up at Summerfest. I'll probably ask him a little bit about Brian Wilson and Sly Stone as well. Always fun to have Piet on the show. And we have, I think, a winner so far. It would probably be peas in terms of what is least exciting vegetable-wise. Amanda Nimmer, as I read earlier, said peas are useless and disgusting. Civic Media's own Luke Mathers says, no, Amanda, false. They're delicious. Oh, I see something brewing here, Conrad, that's going to blow up all over the network. It's insane. Jody Himnen says, my favorite vegetable is a bell pepper, and lima beans are my least favorite vegetable. Mike says, my favorite vegetable is a cucumber. My least favorite vegetable is cauliflower. Wow, everybody picking on cauliflower. Luke Mathers also shared his favorite, says roasted Brussels sprouts are the best. I agree. Those are outstanding. He says, I'm not a huge fan of lima beans, but vegetables are made up. There's nothing technical about the term. It's just made up by Big Culinary. Wow, people picking on Big Culinary. Daniel Wheeler finally says, my favorite veggies are the peppers inside of jalapeno poppers. My least favorite veggies are radishes. Even with salt, the bitter taste is nasty. I always forget about radishes being part of the vegetable family. We have a few more minutes with our current guest. Rob Thomas was nice enough to join us tonight. He is a Madison-based film critic and the editor of the CityCast Madison newsletter. And check out his Substack at Not That Rob Thomas on Substack.
I want to know who's still eating lima beans.
Yeah,
I haven't seen a lima bean in 30 years. I thought they went extinct.
Yeah. That's a really interesting. And a couple people have said okra. I guess okra is more popular. But you're right. Lima beans is like eating liver and onions, I think. It's like right out of a 70s sitcom or something.
Exactly. It should be like a Swanson's Hungry Man TV dinner.
Those were healthy.
That's right.
Rob, so tell us about Department Q. Are you a fan? Or did you want to talk about it because you're a fan or not a fan?
I think I'm a fan. And it's the show that, you know how it is. You have your shows that you watch with your partner, and then you each have your own separate shows. And this is right. Department Q is the one that my wife and I are watching. We're almost done with it. It's a Netflix show.
Okay.
And it's good. I mean, I think I went into it with pretty high hopes because the writer director did The Queen's Gambit, which I think is a fantastic. I thought it was a fantastic show.
Right.
And this show is pretty good. It's like a detective show, pretty familiar. It was it's based on a Danish series of novels, but it's set this version set in Scotland. You have this sort of tortured antisocial, brilliant detective.
Oh, wow.
Trying to find this woman who's been disappeared for 4 years, but we know is not dead. He does not know that. And it's a good, you know, it's a good mystery and good performances. And, you know, like I said, the main detective is sort of like, you know, kind of irritating in a very familiar way for that kind of character. But the people around him are really interesting as his sort of associates. So, yeah, I'm sticking with it. I think it's a perfectly fine watch, you know, okay. If you like Scandinavian mysteries.
That's very specific.
People do, though.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And I've seen some of them myself. I have a split personality. Rob, what have you seen Line of Duty?
Yes, I've seen a little bit of it. And it was incredible, I thought. Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I started, there's like 6 seasons, but a total of 36 episodes for all the seasons. And I'm on season 4. I've been reading, like, rarely do I like a show so much I read about it on the internet. You know, like I Wikipedia, I'm like, who are these actors? Apparently it was like the number one show on BBC Two. So they moved it to BBC One, the highest rated show ever. I've never even heard of it. And it was from 2012, but I'm so into it.
Is it on Netflix now?
It's on Hulu now. And you can probably find it on BBC as well.
Because I think it was on like BritBox or something for a few years, which is not a very widely seen streaming service. But the guy who created this other great Netflix show called, I think it's called The Bodyguard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
That's that really good show.
Yeah. Like,
the guy, he can't just write an episode where nothing happens. Like, there's always so much going on in every episode. No character is safe from getting killed or, you know, double cross. So very entertaining show.
It's one of those shows where I watch it and I go, even if nothing else happens with the story or it doesn't escalate, it's still really good. The acting is good. The writing is good, but they always go in a different direction that you don't see coming.
Absolutely.
And it's, I have to slow down cause I don't want to be done with it. It's like one of those type of shows. So let's see, what else do we do here, Rob? How about the Midwest Linen Revival before we let you get out of here?
That's interesting. We had a podcast today.
Yeah.
CityCast Madison podcast. And it's a really interesting, you know, there's kind of the farm to table movement.
Yeah.
Elsewhere where like people go connect directly from the farm and get, you know, vegetables, speaking of vegetables, not lima beans, I don't think, but like vegetables from the farm and sort of, you know, so you know where your food's coming from.
Right.
So this movement is like, know where your clothes are coming from and know where the flax fiber that's being, you know, turned into your shirts and the linen are where they're being harvested. And so it's this interesting movement. There's these, they call it like field to frock events in Madison. We kind of build awareness. So it's an interesting thing. I just listened to the podcast and I'm starting to learn about it, but it's an interesting idea, I think, to sort of have a homegrown apparel economy here in Wisconsin.
It's so great. I got into this a few years ago when I had a distant relative pass away, a single guy. And he lived a long life, and they were getting rid of his stuff. And I'm like, look at all this stuff that one person had. So it's like, where does everything go? There are 8 billion people on the planet. And I started to get very conscientious of this kind of stuff. And I started trying to find secondhand stuff that's still good. And it's a crapshoot. You don't know, you know, you got to know where to go. And that's what you guys kind of did. You listed several places where people can go and find good secondhand stuff. And I like Goodwill, but you have to go to, a cool city's Goodwill because you'll find better hand-me-downs, so to speak. But
my daughter's really good at thrifting and like going and like, you know, there's these places like, you're right. We went to Chicago to a thrift store and the clothes were incredible because people like bring in their old clothes and take some new ones. And like, it was really good stuff. You know, you can still find good stuff at St. Vinny's or Goodwill. Sure. You just got to look harder. Yeah,
exactly. Is Ragstock even considered thrifting anymore? I mean, it seems like their stuff has become more higher end in the last few years.
That's a good question. Like, I don't really know. I don't know if people sell close to Ragstock the way they do some of these other places. But I think I've aged out of Ragstock, so I wouldn't be the one to ask.
Well, yeah, with that.
I don't think those are retro. I think those are just nice clothes.
Yeah, that's a little upscale. Yeah. Hey, buddy, this is always fun. Thanks so much for your time tonight, and keep up the great work.
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate it.
Rob Thomas, folks, check out his work at CityCast Madison and follow him on his Substack at Not That Rob Thomas. Good stuff. Con, we got to catch up on some texts here.
Yeah.
There was one I saw. I don't even know where to start because I was kind of jumping around here. So bear with me, folks, and we will get through these texts. But great stuff coming through on the text line tonight. What is your favorite or least favorite vegetable? That's what we're talking about. 501, by the way, I made reference to that area code before, and the 501 texted back and said equals Arkansas. We spent 8 years in Arkansas after 40 years in Seattle and now 9 in my home state of Wisconsin. Thanks for the RT explaining. You're very welcome. And thank you for listening, 501, who said also recently was moved by Goya's ghosts, but RT was not kind. Interesting. Yeah, you never know. I mean, you can't just go. I'll even watch a movie like if it's something a friend of mine did and it only got in the 20s and I've been there, I'll still watch it. But I'll watch something, even if it's like an action film, you kind of sway your opinions. Like if an action film gets in the 40s, I think that's graded differently. You know, they're not as forgiving of that genre. So if you got an action film that is in the 40s or 50s, even though it's not technically fresh at 60%, you might still want to go for it. Comedy too. Comedy is so subjective. Even if there's a comedy in the 30s, 30 percentile that is, or 40s, probably still worth a watch. A good drama, if they're panning it, it's in the 20s, it's probably terrible. So that's interesting. And it's a way to kind of learn how to navigate Rotten Tomatoes, but it is a good resource. Conrad's dad says, all-time favorite tasting vegetable is asparagus. Every time I eat asparagus, it brings back great memories. Interesting. Way back in the day, my brother and I planted with our dad, Conrad's grandpa, 340 male hybrid asparagus plants on the homestead farm. Conrad, do you understand that line? 340 male hybrid asparagus.
I didn't know they had genders.
I didn't either. Interesting. Within 2 years, Steve says, of planting, producing the best asparagus crop, and is still producing to this day. Worst vegetable is okra. Boy, people do not like okra.
You know, I recently
thank you, Steve.
Tried asparagus, like it was grilled.
Yeah.
And I really liked it.
It's great
stuff. But when I was younger, the smell, obviously, I was like, ugh, you know.
Yeah. And there's a smell afterwards everybody's familiar with. But the taste is fantastic, I think. A little olive oil and sea salt or something. 608 says, corn is a grain, not a vegetable. I would say I would say tomatoes are my favorite, but it's a fruit. And that was from Kay in Portage. And she says, yes, she meant tomatoes. Mark from Prairie to Sac likes the vegetables we listed before, which I think were beets. I can't remember what else, Mark. And then Cam shared the potato again. This time it's a lot more active. It's like my meme of my face and a potato is doing aerobics. Thank you, Cam. Anna from Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite vegetable is broccoli. I would say broccoli's winning tonight. Would that sound accurate, Conrad, without doing a technical breakdown?
You know, broccoli's good.
Yeah. Jameson from Pennsylvania, he's in the 814, says, I just want to be the jerk who sends a stupid message. Thank you for your honesty, Jameson. Jameson says, vegetables aren't real. And we've heard this before from Luke Mathers. Tomatoes, cucumbers, even corn is a fruit. Lettuce is a leaf. Carrots are a root. Mushrooms are fungus. Broccoli is a flower. LOL. Had to be that guy. That's okay, Jameson. You've been that guy from time to time. We like that guy. He says, but on the topic, deep fried zucchini and cauliflower rock. Green beans are the worst.
Correct.
No love for green beans tonight. Monica from Mount Horeb says, eggplant. Oh, I read that one already. Thank you, Monica. Pamela from Wisconsin Rapids says, least parsnips. Favorite, corn on the cob. From Pamela in Wisconsin Rapids, very passionate about her vegetables. Jim in Brookfield says, favorites, beets, especially golden beets, baked in the oven with olive oil. Oh, nice. Also, cauliflower oven baked with buffalo hot sauce. Interesting. Dislikes, none. Pete, try eggplant parmesan. I have, Jim. But for you, I'll give it another try. All right, we're coming right back with Piet Levy. We're going to talk some Summerfest. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Like I feel. Please let me know that
it's real. You're just too good to be. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wfhr.com/contest-terms. As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
You want me, I want you, baby. My sugar boo, I'm levitating. The Milky Way, we're renegading. Yeah, 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 yeah. I got you, moonlight.
Welcome back. You're my starlight, I need you. I am Peach Wabba. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. We are talking about all kinds of fun stuff tonight. We talk some movies. We've got some vegetable talk going on National Vegetable Day. What is your least favorite or favorite vegetable? You can share either or both. Anna from Madison says broccoli. I think I read that one already. Jameson, we read that one. God, I can't even keep up, Conrad. I need your help here, buddy. So we'll read your text on the radio if you're nice enough to text us what you think. Tom from New Berlin says least favorite. Peas, asparagus are favorite, but butter and salt can make all vegetables tasty. Really fresh is the best. No argument there, Tom. Thank you. Ross from Crawford County says favorite vegetable is probably the potato, and the least favorite is probably okra. I used to live in South Carolina, and okra is kind of weird. It gets kind of slimy. It's good in casseroles and gumbo, but by itself is not my favorite. That's kind of how I feel about eggplant. So, Jim from Appleton says, explain this one to me. I agree completely with the K-Man. I love broccoli, but can't stand cauliflower. Did I read that one already?
You did.
Did I? All right. I just liked it a lot. I wanted to read it again. It's like a sequel, a reboot, if you will. All right. This is exciting, folks. Summerfest is right around the corner. It starts on Thursday. And who better to discuss this amazing music festival that happens every year in Milwaukee than with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel music writer, Piet Levy. Piet, how are you?
All right. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Do you have a favorite vegetable or least favorite?
Ooh, is an avocado a vegetable? Or is that a fruit?
I believe it's a fruit.
I think technically it's a fruit.
That kind of messes things up. Already.
We're not technical here, though. We'll accept that if that's... But is that your favorite or least favorite?
I love avocados. Yeah, I love guacamole. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Great choice. How you doing tonight? Good to have you.
I'm doing great. It's going to be a busy couple of weeks, we're getting into Summerfest coverage mode and gets pretty wild. It's easier than the days when it was like 11 days straight.
Yeah.
And by day 11, you just don't know what's reality and what's like a fiction of your imagination walking around eating more cheese sticks from Saz's. So it's definitely better to have these breaks, but it's going to be busy, but I'm excited. We have a lot of great stuff we're going to be covering and a lot of great stuff happening at Summerfest.
Well, you're so good at your job and you're so passionate about music and you cover Summerfest so well. Tell us about, give us an overview, if you will. You were here like a couple months ago, I think, but what are some of the big attractions this year and what can people look forward to?
Yeah, I mean, Summerfest is going to be 9 different days, June 19th to the 21st, 26th to the 28th, July 3rd to the 5th. And they're going to be like 600 acts. It's still, it's crazy. One of the longest running music festivals in the country. This is year 57, technically 57 years since it started. Also one of the largest, in the country. It was considered the largest in the Guinness Book of World Records back in 1999. I don't know if it still holds that title or not, but definitely one of the biggest. And also what makes it so interesting, is it's just one of the most musically diverse. I mean, you know, it's just, you can see everything from, you know, Fog Hat to Benson Boone and you know, up and coming hip hop stars to veteran rappers to EDM to country, the, you know, folk. And it's just kind of all over the place. Lots of local music, too. Yeah. So it really makes it a pretty interesting festival in terms of that. They aspire to try to offer something for everyone. And they mostly succeed. Sometimes they're lacking in some stuff, but they mostly succeed. And there's a lot of good stuff to check out this year for sure.
You guys, I know they've added some new acts too. They just added Third Eye Blind and the Mavericks. The Mavericks are great. Are you a fan of both of those bands?
Yeah, well, I haven't actually seen Third Eye Blind live. That is one that's just, I kind of keep missing. But I saw the Mavericks this spring with Dwight Yoakam at the Miller High Life Theater in Milwaukee. They were amazing. They were stunning. That's a so great addition. They're such a fun band. They are so good live. All those instrumentalists in that band are just on fire when they play. So good. So that's going to be a cool addition for sure. And, you know, in terms of, you asked me things that are excited about or some big things kind of happening. I mean, you know, they've got, I mentioned Benson Boone. My family, my daughters and son are very upset that I'm seeing Benson Boone and they're not seeing Benson Boone. He's very popular right now. I mean, that was a thing where like they booked him before he announced his arena tour. And this is like the biggest headlining show that they booked was for him. This is kind of reminiscent of Billie Eilish back in 2019 where people thought, who's Billie Eilish? Like a lot of like, she wasn't a household name yet, but then she just exploded. And that was like a very smart get. And that show sold out so well. The Benson Boone show is also going to be packed too. And then he did announce an arena tour and that sold out like, in, I don't know, 9 seconds or something. So it's just, that'll be definitely a big one. You got Def Leppard on opening night, something quite different. You got James Taylor's this Saturday, Hozier. That show is sold out at the amphitheater, June 20th. He's just really hot right now.
Wow.
And you got Lainey Wilson, who's like really kind of at the top of the country world. She's June 26th in the amphitheater. You've got Megan Thee Stallion. Her only show this summer is at Summerfest. Oh. She's playing June 28th at the amphitheater. So that's definitely going to be one to check out. You've got the Lumineers are coming for closing night, July 5th. The Killers. They're only playing like 3 shows in North America this summer. And again, Summerfest is one of them.
Oh,
and that's another thing
great
about Summerfest. Yeah, I mean, the thing about Summerfest is that you'll get touring acts are just kind of coming through, you know, making their stops. But then you'll get these kind of one-off shows just because of their connections and these acts are willing to do it. Jason Mraz is doing his only show of the summer, opening for James Taylor Saturday at the amphitheater. And that's just the amphitheater. I mean, like I said, there's like 600 acts. There's a lot of stuff on the grounds that are going to be really exciting. They're going to have an artist from like kind of this new wave of Afrobeats. It's a genre that's just been exploding. And Summerfest has not had anything. And even the Milwaukee music market hasn't really been booking Afrobeats artists. But they're going to have Ira Starr is coming to perform that last weekend in a headlining slot, I think July 3rd. So it's awesome that they're doing new things as well.
That's great. You mentioned that last time you were here too about the Afrobeats. I think that's so cool. We Piet Levy is my guest. He is the music writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and we're talking about Summerfest. And we'll have a few more minutes with Piet on the other side of the news. I want to ask. We've got Bow Wow is there? No longer Lil Bow Wow. So I'm going to ask you about that when we come back, Piet. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Put it in the
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump considering ratcheting up U.S. involvement in the Israel-Iran conflict, which has entered its sixth day with intense strikes on Tehran. The BBC's Hugo Bacega.
The Israeli military had issued an evacuation order for people in Tehran's District 18, which includes military buildings and residential neighborhoods.
The G7 summit's a wrap in Canada. The BBC's James Landale from Alberta.
President Zelensky left saying diplomacy was in crisis because Russia was rejecting peace initiatives without facing any consequences.
President Trump cut out early to focus on the Middle East. Mr. Trump's expected to sign an executive order extending a deadline for 90 days for TikTok's Chinese owner to divest. Tech contributor Ian Schur.
This all started half a decade ago when President Trump accused TikTok of being a national security threat and said that he would try to ban it.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
A win for OKC. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Basketball, the Thunder beat the Pacers 120-109 to take a 3-2 lead in the NBA Finals. Indiana's Tyrese Halliburton re-injuring that right ankle and calf muscle in the first quarter ended up with only 4 points in 34 minutes of play. The Thunder's Jalen Williams with a career-high 40 points in the postseason. Asked, was that the game plan or are shots just dropping in for him?
Probably a little bit of both. I don't want to give too much into the game plan, but a lot of it is just me being aggressive, seeing what's open and taking those shots.
Game 6 is Thursday night in Indy. Baseball, the Brewers face the first-place Cubs tonight at Wrigley Field. Chicago with a 5.5-game lead in the NL Central. Ahead of the crew, pitcher Colin Ray on the kind of standard manager Craig Counsell has set in the Cubs clubhouse this year.
Yeah, I think he just has the expectations of us doing the little things right, coming in every single day, giving your best effort, holding each other accountable for those things when you step through those doors every single day.
That's Cubs pitcher Colin Ray with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Pop singer Neza might have gone to her last Dodger game. At least that's what she says. If you're wondering why, it's because she was told to sing the Star Spangled Banner in English, but decided to sing it in Spanish anyway. This all happened last Saturday on the day of the No Kings protest taking place all over the country. The singer posted a TikTok video of a Dodgers executive telling her to sing it in English and then part of her performance, which was in Spanish. For what it's worth, it was received with enthusiastic applause. The Pitt is a hit for Max, and fans of the intense medical drama will be happy to know that season 2 production is underway. According to Variety, the show stars Noah Wiley as an ER doctor. Sound familiar? It was renewed in February. The Pitt takes place at the fictitious Pittsburgh Trauma Medical Hospital. Wiley also executive produces the show alongside John Wells, who executive produced NBC's ER. Season 2 of The Pitt will premiere in January 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies to stay with us in the overnight with showers. Even a couple of rumbles of thunder can't be ruled out. Light winds, morning lows of the lower 60s. On your Wednesday, showers and storms around, some locally heavy rainfall with highs in the upper 70s. It's 66 at our studios.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us now.
3 in 4 people have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this big, beautiful bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the writer and producer from Bridge to Terabithia, David Patterson. Then we discuss men's mental health with DeLorean Walls from Brothers to Brothers. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. I am Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday night. I'm going to go out on a limb here and just say it feels like a Thursday. This does not feel like a Tuesday. We got two great guests, a question that is lighting up the text line. What is your favorite or least favorite vegetable, folks? Let us know. I will read your text on the radio. And we have a few more minutes here with our guest. He writes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, primarily about music, and does a great job covering Summerfest, too. Piet Levy is with us on the stream. Piet, Rick Springfield, is this guy, how old is this guy now?
Oh, gosh, I don't know how old he is. You know, we have the same birthday, Rick Springfield and I. So
shout out to
all the August 23rd birthdays out there. Yeah.
Hey, have you ever seen the Abbott Brothers live?
They're really good. And they're also playing at Summerfest this year.
Yeah.
On June 26th, I believe. And they're an excellent live band. Yeah, excellent live band. It's going to be a lot of fun with them for sure.
What they seem like mostly a cover band like 15 years ago. Do they still primarily do other people's stuff or do they have original stuff?
They've done a ton. They do a ton of original stuff. And yeah, they are just really... you know, you're talking about the Mavericks and how good the Mavericks is as a live band. I mean, the Avett Brothers are also just a really great live band where they just have so much fun and they're just playing until they're going to burst into flames, basically. They're really good. So I think that's going to be another really good one to check out for sure.
I think a show that I get the most excited about, I probably won't be able to make it down there, but is the Psychedelic Furs. I've never seen them live. And they're, the songs I like of theirs, I really love. I love the song Heartbreak Beat. And I've heard people do it acoustically and I like the way the Furs did it in the '80s. What is a band like that? How many people are the Furs going to draw 40 years out?
I think they'll draw a pretty good crowd. I mean, that's what's interesting about Summerfest is I've seen huge crowds for band. Like I remember going to like a matinee show, I think with maybe it was Night Ranger a few years ago. And was really impressed like how many people were there for that band. And Everclear, they're playing like a 6 o'clock slot. You know, that's a band that, you know, you might say it's past its commercial prime, but there was a huge crowd for Everclear. And that's the thing. Like, and sometimes you can see those bands that, you know, I guess you can call them nostalgia acts, but they still are having fun, having a good time. Their fans are having a good time. They do draw big crowds. So I think that'll happen again for them. I think the Furs are opposite Devo, if I remember correctly.
Oh, really?
I have to double check. I know I'm reviewing the Furs. I'm covering some other stuff that night too. I'm going to be kind of bouncing around a lot. I think I'm covering like reviewing like 40 acts or something.
Oh my gosh!
Including the amphitheater and side stage stuff. It's going to be local stuff and headliners and new artists and older artists, and it's going to be all over the place. But very excited about it.
That's so cool. Billy Corgan has this band, Machines of God. Have you heard them?
I haven't heard that band, but the what I'm hearing about it is it's, you know, it's him doing probably some deeper cuts from Smashing Pumpkins.
Okay.
And I think, you know, there might be some Smashing Pumpkins hits in there too. I remember seeing them a long time ago where it was like a deep set list basically where they avoided a lot of the hits and the crowds get a little more antsy. With this new name, this is kind of like the way to be like, you know, this is for like the real fans who like love the stuff that you never typically hear live. So that's kind of, I think, how he's pitching it. But we'll find out. I'll be at that one, too.
Nice. I didn't know the Fray was still touring. Have you ever seen them?
Yeah, no, definitely. I've seen them several times. Yeah. And they are still touring. This is, I think, the 20th anniversary of their big breakout album, if I remember correctly. I think it was 2005.
Right.
Yeah. So they're going to be touring. They're also doing... like an afternoon show at this thing, the American Family Insurance House. So, you know, there's all the main stages and then they have this very small room where it's like first come, first serve, where they have headliners earlier in the afternoon come in and do some like acoustic songs typically. And the Fray, they're going to do that, which is cool for fans of the Fray who, you know, I mean, that was a band that you know, in its prime filled the amphitheater.
Yeah.
And, you know, to see them in kind of an intimate space with, you know, a few dozen people will be pretty cool. There's another artist named Alex Warren who has this song Ordinary. It's currently number one on the Billboard Hot 100. It's probably going to still be number one. It might be number one again if Sabrina Carpenter came and kind of knocked it off. But
It could climb back to number one again by the time he performs at Summerfest. And he's also doing an amphitheater, American Family Insurance house set, which I'm expecting will be just mobbed with people just trying to get into that because he's got one of the hottest songs in the world right now.
Yeah. You've got Chicago at the BMO Pavilion. What is their band like now? Do you know? I was always a fan of their music. I'm kind of amazed that they've had all these different iterations and switched lead singers and found new sounds. They're a pretty resilient band.
Yeah, they are. And I think there's probably a couple people that are still in there from the olden days or whatever you might want to say. But again, they brought in people throughout the years who, again, very good musicians. I mean, that's a very much a musicians kind of band. I haven't seen them live in a while. It's probably been about 10 years. But I was impressed by their set 10 years ago. And I'm sure they'll deliver a crowd-pleasing set July 4th at the BMO Pavilion.
Another name I want to ask you about, when I was a stand-up in the 90s and I would work the comedy tent, which I don't even know if they still have a comedy tent there, but Paul Siebert and the Milwaukeeans were kind of one of the bigger bands. And now we see he has a new band. That's kind of cool. Does he play around Milwaukee quite a bit?
Oh, yeah, he still does. It's Paul Siebert, Tomorrow Sound is the name of the band. And he's actually been in that band for a bit now.
Okay.
But he's going to be playing. You've got a lot, Willie Porter's going to be performing. He's another veteran of the Milwaukee music scene. Mike Mangione's going to be performing. You've got, those folks. And then you've got like newer artists. There's a R&B artist named Aya, who I'm a fan of. She's doing her Summerfest debut. Allison Mayhall. We actually have a big story about her. Allison Mahal at jsonline.com/music, where she did like three songs for us for a series called USA Today Acoustic. It's at the Journal Sentinel. It's being shared with USA Today and other outlets. She's a really great singer-songwriter. She's performing at Summerfest for the very first time this year as well. Chicken P is a very influential Milwaukee rapper. He's also making his Summerfest debut. There's a lot of really interesting artists kind of all over the place covering all sorts of different sounds just from Milwaukee that are definitely worth checking out. And get there early for that. I mean, a lot of these artists are playing like in the afternoon slots. And, some people will think, Summerfest there's only good stuff at 10 p.m. No, there's really good stuff kind of throughout the day. And there's a lot of really good local stuff throughout the day. So you should get there early, and you might even get a free ticket if you get there early enough or with, one of their promo days.
Yeah. Have you seen or heard the band 7,000 Apart? They're playing at the U.S. Cellular Connection stage.
Yeah, I know of them, but I've never seen them. But I've heard really good things about them. Have you caught them?
Yeah,
they were kind of based in Green Bay, right?
Correct, Green Bay and Sweden, and they've been in the studio several times, and they're a duo, husband and wife duo, and they're just really fun and kind of, I think, on the rise. They do really well here and in Sweden, so I'm excited to hear how they do at Summerfest. I'm sure it'll go really well. So tell me about what is School of Rock, Piet? That's on a lot of different days, kind of at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day, I should say.
It's at the beginning of the day. And, School of Rock, there's a national chain School of Rock, similar to the movie with Jack Black, where they are like rock music schools for kids, typically and teens. And what they've been doing at Summerfest, I don't know how many years now, but there'll be different School of Rock students from kind of different School of Rock schools around the country that come in and perform. I think it's this first weekend. I think it's like early slots, usually on multiple stages. And then it's a chance for them to kind of have that festival experience, to be able to perform on stage at this big festival. And then they hang out throughout the day. I remember seeing, School of Rock kids just like jamming out to bands like in the afternoon, just having like the best time. And that's really fun to see too. Like this, just to see people who really are good at music and love music just having so much fun just absorbing music. So they bring a lot of color to the grounds too.
That's excellent. My guest is Piet Levy. Check out his work at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He writes about music primarily and covers Summerfest. We're talking about Summerfest, which is right around the corner. It opens in 2 days. So get your tickets now. Did Lil Bow Wow, did he just drop the Lil because he's older?
I think he dropped a little because he's older. And that was a while ago.
He's
been Bow Wow for a bit. And that was before several rappers had the Lil. Like there were rappers that kind of embraced the Lil no matter the age. But yes, he was Lil Bow Wow, became Bow Wow. He's filled in. Bone Thugs and Harmony were supposed to play on opening night, June 19th. And they had to drop out due to unforeseen circumstances. Bow Wow was like a last minute fill in. But he's still quite popular. I think he'll still draw a big crowd. And again, you get hip hop from kind of all over the place, whether it's Bow Wow or it's, you know, Megan Thee Stallion, or, you know, like I said, a Milwaukee rapper like Chicken P, or, you know, a Certified Trapper, another really good Milwaukee rapper, Steve the Stoner from Milwaukee. You know, they're going to be playing too. So you get hip hop from kind of all over, you know, all over the, in terms of like how long they've been around, the kind of sounds and styles they're doing. So yeah, Bow Wow, June 19th, I think he'll have a pretty good crowd at the Aurora Pavilion.
I think, I mean, just looking over this list, the best bang for your buck for a guy my age, you've got Springfield, Rick Springfield at 9:30 at night, Grand Funk Railroad at 7:30. They were a little before my time, but Paul Young. Is that the Paul Young at 5:30 in the afternoon?
I believe it's the Paul Young, wow. Yeah.
And then yeah. Wang Chung before Paul Young. I would watch that entire, I don't think I'd leave that stage all day.
There you go. It's somewhere you can kind of hang out for sure. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff kind of throughout the festival. Just a lot of really great things to check out. And I mean, we're going to be there. There's like seven of us doing reviews. I mean, we're going to be reviewing like eight sets a day on the side stages. We're going to be doing the amphitheater every day. We're going to be doing kind of video coverage and just so much more stuff. So we'll have a lot of stuff at jsonline.com/summerfest, like throughout the run and kind of best and worst of each weekends and all that kind of stuff. So we really, you know, Summerfest is quite a beast to cover, but we really love doing it. And we give a lot of coverage for readers because there's a lot of interest in Summerfest.
Absolutely. And you do a great job. I want to ask you before we let you go about Sly Stone and Brian Wilson, two titans passing away in the same week. That's incredible. Do you have thoughts on both of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, just incredible. It's really hard to really summarize what a major impact they had. I mean, with Sly Stone, there's obviously that Milwaukee connection where there's this famous concert in Milwaukee where it just drew, like at Summerfest, actually, just massive crowds. You know, if you Google search, you know, Sly Stone Summerfest, it's really one of like the big landmark events at Summerfest where it's just like huge crowds and just like really wild. I can't remember the stats off the top of my head, but it was like a night of like local legend, basically. And Brian Wilson, just he's such an incredible artist, and he's just a genius. And I didn't get to see Sly Stone perform. I did get to see Brian Wilson perform several times. Obviously, he had, you know, a lot of troubles and mental health issues. And as a performer, you know, he could struggle, honestly. But he is such an amazing musician. And the music he made, it's just timeless and just so deeply influential. And you know, I think we're just blessed. We were blessed by his music, just really incredible music.
Absolutely. And it's, I didn't know, I was talking about this last week. I didn't know what a pioneer he was until I was probably in my 30s. Sly Stone, I didn't know what a pioneer he was till I was like in my 40s. And you see these documentaries, like unless you're really tied into music like you are, but these are really fun people to research and you can see their contributions. And as I say that, Piet, I'm pulling up your article here. I Googled it and it came up from 5 years ago. You wrote about, the headline is Joints, Delays, and a Sea of People. 50 years ago, Sly and the Family Stone gave Summerfest its wildest night. I'm so excited to read that later.
Cool. Yeah, please do. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time tonight, buddy. Enjoy Summerfest. Try to not overdo it, though, and we'll be watching. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Pete. Appreciate
you got
it.
All right. That's Piet Levy. Check out his work in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Just great stuff. We'll be back to read some more of your texts and wrap things up. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just another night, another vision of love. You feel joy, you feel pain, cause nothing will be the same. Just another night, it's all that it takes to understand the difference between lovers and fakes. So baby, I talk.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. The Trump administration's order to keep a Michigan coal plant running could mean higher energy bills in Wisconsin. Just days before the aging plant was set to retire, the Department of Energy ordered it to stay open, citing emergency wartime powers. Staff were already gone and there was no coal on site. The utility that owns the plant wants to recoup the tens of millions of dollars it cost to bring it back online through price increases on customers throughout the Midwest grid, including Wisconsin. Summer nights in Wisconsin are heating up, literally, according to Wisconsin. Wisconsin's initiative on climate change impacts, our state is about 3 degrees warmer in the summertime than it was in the 1950s, and we're feeling that heat mostly at night, with temperatures staying above 70 more and more often. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. May 12th, the U.S. Department of Justice reportedly requested all the state of Colorado's records relating to the 2024 federal election and the preservation of records related to the 2020 election. The request may relate to President Trump's effort to free a convicted Colorado election official. The records request is massive. In November 2024, there were 4.65 million registered Colorado voters, 3.3 million of whom cast ballots in the presidential election. Then consider the records from every electronic ballot tabulator, voter registration and verification documents for each voter, and more. Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold told NPR, "What they're going to do with all this data, I don't know, but I'm sure they'll use it to push their ridiculous disinformation and lies to the American public," she said. There is speculation that it may be related to convicted Mesa County elections official Tina Peters, sentenced to 9 years for giving voting machine access to conspiracy theorists tied to MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell. The week before the Colorado records request, DOJ was directed by President Trump to, quote, take all necessary action to help secure the release of Peters. To date, Colorado has reportedly provided two copies of its master voter list to DOJ and its 2024 voter history file. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. It's been a fun show, Conrad. What do you think?
I've enjoyed my time.
You've been very quiet over there. Is everything all right?
Yeah, it's all right.
Okay.
I just, you know, people like green beans.
That's really set you in a mood for the whole show, didn't it?
People like cauliflower. It's put me in a mood.
Okay.
And also, you know, those people didn't wave at me. I'm just thinking about it still.
Oh, that is the kind of thing that can kind of set you off. It sets a tone. It's a tone setter. Honestly, rude people, not that they were overtly rude, but like not waving, man, that bugs me.
You know what did help though? Yesterday, I got home and, you know, in my apartment, you have to unlock the door with the key every time.
Yeah.
The lady opened the door for me.
Oh.
You know, that was like, I don't have to use my keys.
Averages out.
Because I was bringing in some water.
Okay.
I had a full case. And, she opened
full
the door
case
for
of
me.
Water in one hand, Sydney Sweeney bath soap in the other.
Well, you 30 pack is heavy.
You got groceries.
I used to open one night.
You know what would make it less heavy? If there was a hole in the middle of the soap.
You're right.
It'd be a lot easier to manage. Hey, tomorrow night on Nightlight, Dave Patterson will be here. He is he's the writer and producer of the Bridge to Terabithia movie. His mother, Catherine Patterson, wrote the book, which was a Newbery Award winner. Such a phenomenal book, which is actually banned in some schools, which is sinful. It's just some people ought to be ashamed of themselves. But Dave will be here tomorrow at 6:35. And then DeLorean Walls will be here in the second hour from Brothers Helping Brothers. It is Men's Mental Health Awareness Month, June. So we will talk to DeLorean. He'll be here in the studio. That'll be nice to get to know DeLorean. A Todd Michaels referral, who is on vacation
And
has apparently turned off his phone. So I was kind of trying to draw him out by talking about Todd. Not like I was saying anything bad, but just that I think he should leave us alone. He's on vacation.
Yeah.
Who do you think's in charge when Todd is gone? Amanda?
John Minow.
John Minow. Okay, good to know. He's got to keep us in line. Our question tonight, folks, we're just going to wrap up these few texts here. What was your favorite or least favorite? What is your favorite or least favorite vegetable? It is National Vegetable Day today. And PJ on the stream closes out the stream comments with, oh, Brussels sprouts, also steamed with butter, are delicious. They are. And he goes, olive oil, too, is great on them. And it's a little healthier than butter. Some sea salt. Great stuff. Susan from McFarland says, good evening, Conrad with a K and Pete. That was nice how she did that. My least favorite vegetable is lima bean. But other than that, I can't say it's There's nothing like. I think that's a typo. I find that roasting vegetables makes them sweeter and more palatable for people who don't like vegetables. Great point, Susan. She says, also, I've been binging Blind Spot on Netflix, which is a pretty good series. I haven't heard of that. Have you?
Nope.
Blind Spot. I'll have to check that out. Thank you very much, Susan. Appreciate the tip. Jim from Brookfield says, thanks, Pete, for giving eggplant another try. Eggplant Parmesan is different. I can handle it mixed in with those sauces and cheese. That helps a little bit with the red sauce, and it's just eating it on its own. I guess it has to be cooked right. Jim says, my daughter makes a great eggplant Parmesan, and you are welcome to come down to Brookfield for dinner. Well, thank you, Jim. That's very nice. That's my whole goal with this show, is to get listeners to feed me so I get free grub.
There you go.
It's working. Thank you, Jim. Bridget from the 818. Haven't heard from Bridget in a while. She says, favorite roasted broccoli. Really any roasted vegetable. Least favorite is eggplant. Boy, people have a love-hate relationship with eggplant. Steady Eddie chimes in. He's in the 608. He says, I like baby carrots, but I won't eat full-grown peas. Peas taste bad and are not for me. I will gladly eat raw cauliflower or broccoli. Those two things are good, but don't cook them. Just let them be. Truth be told, mushrooms are not a vegetable. Like Pete, Conrad, and I, mushrooms are more accurately known as a fun guy. Get it? Fun guy?
I get it.
Thank you, Steady Eddie. Good work tonight, buddy. That's like that old joke. Mushroom walks into a bar. Says, hey, bartender, give me a beer. Bartender says, we don't serve your kind here. And the mushroom says, why not? I'm a fun guy. Hey-o! David Where's Patterson the tomorrow button? Night. That should be a ding. Like, I just got an answer ready.
I actually broke the bell.
You broke the bell?
I did.
See, you're benching too much now. You got to calm down with that benching.
It was on the wrong side of me, and I actually went like this, you know?
Oh, and you like...
flew off?
Sent it long. Oh, man. That's coming out of your paycheck, buddy. You know how much those... you know how much these cost? Here, right here. These aren't cheap. No idea how much those cost. So you're doing Mino and the Mayor tomorrow. Check that out. Conrad's work will be on display. And then I got you tomorrow night, and then Amanda Nimmer comes in Thursday and Friday to produce Nightlight, and then Todd Michaels... he won't be back until next week, so I'll be in Madison Monday and Tuesday. That'll be fun. Somebody's here? Who's here, Conrad? Somebody's in the studio?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you all for listening. Thanks to my guest, Piet Levy. Always fun to talk to Piet about music. Enjoy Summerfest, everybody. And then Rob Thomas, check out the CityCast Madison newsletter and read Rob's movie reviews on his Substack. He does outstanding work there. Great having those guys on the show. Thank you for your calls and texts, everybody. And am I forgetting something? I had all this stuff written down. I can't believe we got through all of it.
I think green beans are the worst.
Green beans are.
I think cauliflower was the lima beans was the overall winner, I think.
And Rob Thomas doesn't believe they still exist. He doesn't think lima beans are real still. But great text, everybody. Thank you all for being a part of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. As always, great fun. We'll be back tomorrow night. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, good night, Wisconsin. Don't take me.
is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Iran's Ayatollah Khamenei is expected to speak momentarily as the country's conflict with Israel enters day number six and the U.S. considers intervening. The Eurasia Group's Ian Bremmer.
The longer the war goes on, the more likely you're going to see an Iranian rally around the flag effect because more Iranian civilians are going to get killed.
He's a fan.
I have a warm spot in my heart for TikTok because I won youth by 34 points.
President Trump expected to sign an executive order, once again extending the deadline for TikTok's Chinese parent company to divest. Members of Congress asking for more security after two Minnesota lawmakers and their spouses were shot at their homes. One couple was killed. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
This dangerous environment isn't spontaneous. It's being stoked, often deliberately, by the reckless rhetoric coming from some of the most powerful voices in the country.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.